It's our interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I appreciate the song the young people sang. I told them that that song was one that Renee and I sang together at our wedding. We sang a duet, and it was our desire and purpose for the Lord to show us our mission field, and that would be the center of our marriage, and that's still my desire. Today, I want God to open up all of our hearts, that He would show us the place that He'd have us to work for Him. Desire your prayers as we turn over to Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Jesus spoke, and in the midst of His teaching and speaking, He said, "Remember Lot's wife." Do you remember Lot's wife this morning? I would, by the help of the Lord, like it to remind us of Lot's wife. Because when the Lord Jesus says to remember something, it would behoove us to remember it. There are some things that I find, even as I'm getting older, I don't remember everything all the time, and there are some things I remember well, and other things it just seems like things start slipping through the cracks just a little bit more than what they used to, and I may not remember everything. But when the Lord says to His people, "I want you to remember something," it means there's a reason He wants us to recall to our minds. So if you will turn with me to Genesis, the 19th chapter, and for the sake of time this morning, we're not going to read the whole story. I believe that most of you are familiar this morning with the story of Lot and his wife. In Genesis chapter 19, we'll begin reading with verse 15. Now, to preface this, remember that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was like, "Lord, if there's just so many righteous people there, would you spare it?" And they kept negotiating. And God, in His mercy, allowed Abraham to keep getting that number of righteous men lower and lower and lower. And that right there shows how merciful God is. But it came to a place that He was going to spare Lot, because as uncomfortable as what Lot was doing makes us, there was still some righteousness that he had in his life. In other words, the wickedness, I read the story of Lot and the things that he did, even when the angels came, and all I can say is I don't understand it all. Because Lot had been grossly influenced by the sin around about him, but yet in God's mercy, he was still going to spare Lot's life. And he was going to spare his wife and their children. And so the angel of the Lord had come to them, and it said that when the morning arose, the angel hastened Lot, saying, "Arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." It looks to me like, based on what had happened previously, that there had already been some consuming by the sin of the city. And it is a warning to us this morning. We live in a very sinful generation. And if we are not careful, we also will become affected by the sin that is around about us. Folks, God has called us to be a holy people. He has called us to be separate from the world. But if we're not careful, we will begin to get the mindset that the world has, and it will not be as wicked to us any longer. And I believe that's exactly what happened with Lot. And I have watched it with people that have sat under the sound of the gospel for years and years, and I've watched him get out around in the world, and I began to hear this worldly mindset and thinking. It's why it's important, folks, that we stay in the Word of God, that we let the Word of God in our homes, in our families, and in the congregation, that God's Word has preeminence, that we don't give way to the mindset of the world. So the angels came and they hasten Lot. In other words, you need to hurry up. "Arise and take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed by the iniquity of the city, And while he lingered, do you know that Lot knew that God was going to destroy the city, and yet they lingered? Do you know today there are too many people that know what the truth is? They know what God is calling for, and yet they are holding back and lingering in their sin and in their iniquity and in a place that they know the judgments of God are on. I want to encourage us this morning, let's not linger. If you know that God has pronounced a judgment against something in your life, get rid of it while you have opportunity. And the angels were trying to hurry him up and said, you need to hasten. Folks, we are living in a sinful, crooked, divisive, deceptive generation. And if you know what God wants in your life, don't be lazy about it. The scripture says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. We can come to service and we can sing and we can testify, but if we don't on a daily basis, if we're not pleasing God, folks, we need to hurry up and do business with God. And so he went on then, and he laid hold on his hand and upon the hand of his wife and on the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. In other words, the wife and the daughters, they were lingering. Well, I need to take care of this, and I want to do this first. And all the time, they knew the judgments of God were going to be poured out on that city. Are the judgments of God going to come on us eventually? Are the judgments of God, is the Lord going to return and usher us into the judgment? And we say, yes, He is. Why then are too many people lingering? We can know what is going to happen. We can know the truth. And the angels, in their mercy, they took them by the hand and said, come on. Don't we do that with our children sometimes? Like, hurry up, come on. And they're just diddle-dawdling around and just lingering. And well, I need, and you take them by the hand and say, come on, we are leaving. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning, the angel of the Lord is wanting to take us by the hand and say, you need to move it. You know what God wants you to do. Why are you lingering? Why are you wasting time? Because the judgments of God were about to be poured out. And it said, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, but escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. In other words, there was a way of escape. This morning, there is a way of escape through Jesus Christ today. Where sin doth abound, there doth grace much more abound, and I thank God for it. The things that sin has a hold on people's life, there is a grace that can free us from the power of that sin this morning. There is a grace of God that will enable us to forsake sin and go and sin no more, as Jesus told the woman caught in adultery. So the angel said, don't tarry here. Don't just get as far away as you can. Flee to the mountains. And then, moving on in verse down to 23, it said, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Now, Zoar was just a little city, and that the wickedness was not as great. And Lot had asked the angels, can we go to Zoar? It's not as wicked. Will you spare Zoar if we can go there? In other words, we don't want to be left by ourselves. So we want to go to Zoar, and the angels agreed. Now, I want us to understand something and really get hold of this point as we remember Lot's wife. They were getting right there close to the gates of Zoar. They were right there at the place that they could find refuge and they could find safety. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the city and they which grew upon the ground. The Lord did what he said he was going to do. Folks, when the Lord says he's going to do something in his word, you can be assured he's going to do it. He's going to do just what he said, just when he said, in just how he said. I don't know when the judgments of the Lord are going to come, but I know they're going to come. And he has offered us, through Jesus Christ, a way to escape this morning. There's an avenue in Jesus Christ that we can escape the judgments of God when the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life. And yet, the story doesn't end there. Verse 26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him. Why was his wife behind him? She was still lagging, folks. She was still lagging. She should have been right beside her husband. Husbands and wives this morning, I want to encourage you, do not lag behind the presence of God. Sounds almost like Adam and Eve. They both did wrong, but Eve was the one that was enticing to start with. And here we find that Lot's wife, she should have been beside her husband. And she wasn't. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the husband that's lagging behind as well. Folks, stay close to where the Lord's presence is. Don't lag behind where the Lord wants you to be. Because it said she looked back from behind him. I think there's a problem right there. And she became a pillar of salt. Do you know what her name was? Does anybody know what her name was? I don't either. In the scripture, now there are some other ancient writings that give a name. But in the scripture, she is known as Lot's wife. That was her identity in the scripture. She was Lot's wife. And Jesus said, don't forget her. I want you to remember Lot's wife. Because she looked back. And the question rises then, why was she looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because the Lord had been very plain with them. I want you to escape. I want you to get as far away as you can. And do not look back. Do you know there's a warning to us this morning? Don't look back. There's a song that says, I've gone too far to turn back now. Folks, the moment I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I had gone too far. And the Lord does not want us to turn back again to the sinful, beggarly elements of the world. If you are saved from your sin this morning, don't look back. Don't regret. Don't allow your heart to go after the things of this world. The Lord is looking for a holy people that have set their face heavenward and are not moved by the things of this world. But some reason, Lot's wife, her heart remained in Sodom even as her feet were carrying her away. You know, there's a lesson right there too. We say, where are we this morning? We say, we're in service. This is a good place to be. And I hope you can say amen. If you're not sure about that, you probably ought to start examining your heart. But Lot's wife was someone that was walking the right direction. She was headed the right way. She was headed to safety. And yet, her heart was not where her feet were. Her heart was left back in Sodom. Her heart was back there, and that's what caused her to turn around and look back, because previously they had been lingering. I really don't want to leave. God made a monument of her disobedience. He made a monument of her divided heart, and he made her a pillar of salt. Would it move us at all this morning if we knew where that pillar of salt was and we just moved it on in here this morning and set it up and we saw a pillar of salt? And that used to be someone that was living and vibrant, had dreams and plans and goals, and now she's a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, don't forget. Don't forget Lot's wife. Because I want you to think of her every time. I want you to think of her, young people. Every time you remember Lot's wife, I want you to remember someone that had a divided heart. God allowed her to escape, but her heart was still after the things of this world. And the judgments of God are going to come down on divided hearts, saints. God's judgments are going to come down when your heart is divided. And then it's a fair question, as we remember Lot's wife, is, where is my heart? Are we sold out for God this morning? Have we given everything? Because, you know, I don't think this happened overnight. Without taking the time to read it, you remember over in Genesis 13, when Abraham and Lot were together and they were going to divvy up the land? And Abraham told Lot, he said, just take whatever land you want. And Lot chose what he thought was the fairer land. And it says that he pitched his tent toward what? You remember? He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Why did he pitch his tent? So every time he came out in the morning and he was rubbing his eyes, the first thing he saw was the city of Sodom. He should have turned his tent the other way. Do you know that the things you choose to look at will have an effect on your life? And I wonder this morning how many people are pitching their tent to the things of the world. I've heard young people, and I may have shared it a while back, but I remember one of Renee's friends growing up in a Christian school being taught at home and in the congregation. I remember hearing the statement, I can't wait till I can get out of here. Can't wait till I'm 18 years old and I can go and do the things that I want to do. They were already pitching their tent toward Sodom. They were going to service. They were around truth. And to look at them, you would see modesty and you would see what you would think was humility and godliness, but their heart was not right with God. Our physical location does not make our heart right with God, folks. I might be able to deceive you, and you might be able to deceive me, but God knows where our heart is this morning. And that's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Where is your heart? If your heart is not after the things of God, the judgments of God will come eventually. And that's why we need to be careful about where we're pitching our tent. Folks, the world does not have the answers this morning. There is a little bit of pleasure out there in the world. There is. But it doesn't last very long. It ends up bringing brokenness and heartache and separation from the chief peace giver, who's Jesus Christ. We have the power of choice this morning. You have the privilege to pitch your tent where you want to pitch it. You have that choice. If you want to look out longingly after the things of the world, you have that right and you have that privilege. But just let's be honest about it. It will have an effect on my life. It's going to have an effect. We are what we eat. We are what we eat, folks. And spiritually, we are what we eat. He pitched his tent and his course was set. I don't know who had the greatest effect on who. Maybe if Lot would have pitched his tent the other direction, his wife would have never let her heart get set there. But you know, it didn't end with pitching his tent towards Sodom. Where did they end up? They end up in the city, didn't they? You know, that happens over and over. If you look at something longingly long enough, you're going to end up there. We need to put, if it takes putting blinders on like you put on a horse, then we need to put some spiritual blinders on. And it doesn't mean we're naive. It doesn't mean we don't understand the world. It means that I do understand the world and I choose not to let it influence me. And I'm going to keep my eyes centered on Jesus Christ. That means I'm not going to look like the world. I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to do what the world does, the things that are sin and the things that are wrong, because I have my mind set on another city, and it's a heavenly city. And that's why then we are called to be pilgrims and strangers. Don't put down roots. We're just passing through. But remember Lot's wife. It might have been that Lot's wife was the one that influenced him. Honey, let's turn the tent around the other way. I like city life. Honey, could you turn that tent around? Or maybe one day Lot came home and his wife had the servants move the furniture around. Women like to move things around sometimes. Let's just turn this tent around because I like to look out that way. Folks, they influenced one another whichever way it was. And they ended up in Sodom. And she left her heart there. When she was walking away, she was offered an avenue of escape. This is why the proverb in 4:23 of Proverbs says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful. And this is the reason why, and again, I'll give you the reference, but in the book of Matthew, in the 6th chapter, in the 24th verse, Jesus was speaking, and He said, no man can serve what? Two masters. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. No man can serve God and mammon. Mammon is a reference of money, temporal things. He said, you can't serve God and mammon. Do you know, we all need money to live. We all have the things of life. We have jobs. We have things we have to do. We have bills to pay. We all have those things to take care of. But he said, you can't serve those things. You can't serve them. If we're going to serve those things, it's going to hinder our relationship with the Lord. And so Jesus was saying, you can't serve both the things of this world and me both. And I believe this morning that Lot's wife is a testament. She's a testimony of someone that allowed her heart to go after the things of the world. And in the end, she turned into a pillar of salt. This is the reason Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? How much? You know, all is a big word. It means everything. Young people, children, the Lord is calling for you to love the Lord with all of your heart. Not just the leftovers. Not just when it's convenient. Not just, well, I'm going to serve the world and I'm going to imbibe in the things of the world, but I also want one foot over here in the kingdom of God. You know, I want the best of both. It will not work, remembers Lot's wife. Remember her. Folks, we can't straddle the fence spiritually. We're going to either have to give everything to God or we will, by tacit consent, end up going the way of the world. Love the Lord with all complete devotion. The Scripture says, love not the world. Do we still believe that? Is it popular anymore? Love not the world, then say, okay, so just stop right there, Brother Michael. But it doesn't stop right there. It says, neither the what? That's what gets us every time. Things. Preacher, don't talk about things. Why? Things in and of themselves many times are not the problem, but it's the love that's the problem. See? It's the love. Where is your love? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. The love of the Father is not in us. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back because her heart was still after the things of this world. Love changes the choices that we make in life. You know, that's why there's a difference between someone taking a stick and just keeping everybody measured up. You know, you could stand over a child. Have you ever had a child do a job and you, in essence, just stood there watching and correcting and fixing and you want them to learn how to do it? You do this and this and then you kind of take a step back and watch, and if they start erring you, you show them how to do it. What's going to really tell is if they got it when you walk away. And then you come back and see if they're still at their job. It's your choice this morning. And it's because your love is going to dictate the choices that we make in life. Remember Lot's wife? In the decisions you make, young people, where you set your goals. And it is good for us to have goals and dreams and plans in this world, in this life. Because if we don't, we're going to be a lazy people, and that's not becoming to godliness. But when you make your goals, put God first. Lord, I'm not going to serve these things because you'll end up serving them. But Lord, I want to put you first. Remember Lot's wife. God demands and requires our loyalty this morning. That's why he said that he'll hold to the one and despise the other. He wants our loyalty. And where is our loyalty then? Where was Lot's wife's loyalty? Well, she looked back. Some people's loyalty is to their family. I've heard people make excuses for family. And I know family ought to be close. And you ought to be there to support your family. But folks, if I do something wrong, I don't want my wife to act like I'm not doing anything wrong. If I'm out sinning, I don't want my wife to cover my sin. Now, she's still my wife, but I don't want her acting like, oh, well, it's okay. I'm not going to do it for my children. I won't, and I haven't, and I won't it tomorrow, Lord willing. But if someone's doing something wrong, it doesn't mean I'm going to broadcast, well, I want y'all to know what my wife's doing. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to cover. Where's her loyalty? Too many people, their loyalty is to their family before it is to truth. Their fam, because we're going to protect our family. Stand by the truth, saints. Stand by the truth, and God will take care of these other things. Sometimes it's that way with the congregation. Well, some people just circle around. There ought to be a close-knit unit in family. I believe in that. There ought to be a close-knit unit among God's people, but not at the expense of God's Word. Not at the expense of truth. The Lord is the one that wants our loyalty this morning. He wants our desires to be centered and focused exclusively on Him. And that is the reason why Jesus taught repeatedly in the Gospels. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I don't know what your Sunday school lesson was about other than I saw the word the cost on the board. Just beware the cost and remember Lot's wife. If you're going to follow me, there's going to be a cost if you're going to follow me, but the reward is so much better. Why would I want to look back to Sodom and Gomorrah when refuge is right ahead of me? There's safety. There's a place of peace. There's a place where sin is not abounding. But I'm going to have to keep my heart fixed on the Lord. The Scripture says, and we'll be done shortly. The Scripture says in James 1:8, He said, a double-minded man is, what? Is unstable in all his ways. Remember Lot's wife. She was double-minded. She was double-hearted. She offered an avenue of escape, and yet she was still longing for some of the things back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, we can sit right here this morning and be double-minded. It will bring instability in life. Until we fix our heart and fix our decision on the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, no matter what it takes, I'm going to follow you. That's the reason why the Scripture says to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The hands are the outside. Okay, I'm no longer a thief. I'm no longer an adulterer. I'm no longer a fornicator. I've cleansed my hands. The outward things, I've stopped the sin business. But the Scripture doesn't stop there. He said, purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, remember Lot's wife. She had cleansed her hands, hadn't she? She left Sodom. But her heart had not been purified because she was turning back longing for something back there. And so she stands as a testament to us this morning. Remember Lot's wife. And the thing that is so sad is that Lot's wife died outside of the gates of the city. See, remember the scripture before she turned into a pillar of salt? They had arrived. They were right there at the gate. And at that point, she turned around because she was double-minded. You know, this morning, that ought to put a fear on us. And I think about how many have died outside the gates of Zoar. They had the truth. They were making a way. They were making some good decisions in life, and they were starting to follow the Lord. And yet, before they reached safety, their heart started longing back for the things that they had left. Folks, it's why it's so important this morning that we fix our face to Jesus Christ. In closing, Luke chapter 9, in verse 62, it said, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And you say, that sounds a little bit hard, doesn't it? That sounds a little bit hard. That Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus was wanting a people that would serve Him with all of their hearts. He was wanting a people that would say no to the world and say yes to the Lord. And so Jesus said, I want you to remember Lot's wife. God's judgments, folks, are going to be poured out eventually. And it would behoove us while we have time and while we have opportunity to take advantage and fix our heart. Because when you begin to put your hand to the plow and you look back, what's going to happen? You're going to make some crooked paths, aren't you? And the Lord is looking for a people to walk on that straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. So let's look for this morning. Young people, I just want to really encourage you. You all are at a very critical time this morning because you are making some of the most important decisions in your life now of where you live, what you do for a job, who you're going to marry, whether, you know, the decisions that you're making right now. And it will affect the rest of your life. I want you to remember Lot's wife when you start making these decisions. Fix your heart on the things of God, and it is well worth it because therein is our salvation. Amen.